let's return to positive living with Patricia Raskin on TalkZone.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Positive Living right here on TalkZone.com. Today we have a specially pre-recorded program for you, so you won't be calling in. But it's fun, and you certainly can write to my guest and look at her website. We're talking today about astrology. And whether or not you believe in astrology, it is amazing how accurate astrology can be, particularly when you have different aspects of your sign, and we're going to talk about that next. My guest today is Myrna Lamb. She's a professional astrologer and radio personality. She writes a weekly astrology column, and she hosts a weekly astrology card reading radio program as well. And we're talking about how you can use astrology to improve your personal and professional relationships. Her book is The Astrology of Great Sex, What Your Lover Wants, and her new book is The Astrology of Great Gay Sex. Welcome back, Myrna.
Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about the difference, Myrna, between looking at that horoscope in the newspaper, which is very general,
mm-hmm.
and then having a complete chart done, and what that entails, and why you need so much information.
Okay. The difference is that when you read, say, Sagittarius in the newspaper, that refers to every person born when the sun was in the sign of Sagittarius all over the world and in any year. So, of course, it's extraordinarily general. Sometimes it fits, and that's because it's factored by where all the other planets are, how they're affecting the sign of Sagittarius at this particular moment. So, for example, if the moon is in one's own sign, it may be a very propitious time to try something new. But if it's in a place that is adverse, then the newspaper column would say, you know, be careful today about how you cross other people. So sometimes there are germs of truth. When I do a chart for someone, it's based not only on the fact that the person was born under the sign of Sagittarius, but that specific day and that specific year, and preferably at that specific moment, which sets up geography, and that puts a whole third layer of meaning. Now, what's interesting about astrology, it's a very complicated system. It's enormous, which is why I love it. And in fact, any natal chart may have as many as 1,400 factors in it that describe who you are. And there's these three levels of meaning. There's the planet, there's the sign, and then there's something called the house. And it's how all these things add up that determine the way that you go about, sort of in a push-a-button or automatic way, in reacting and responding to stimulus in your life, whether it has to do with life at home or on the job. What comes out of that is that you learn you have all 12 signs in you somewhere, and that's what opens up your possibility to relate comfortably with people who are, in fact, very different from
you. Well, and it's very complex. I mean, the chart looks like a map.
It is. It's a map of personality. And it is.
But don't you need certain things? You need to have your birthplace
mm-hmm.
and hopefully your birth time.
That's correct.
How important is your birth time in this?
Very important. If I know your birth date and nothing else, then that means I'm going to draw a picture, which would be the same for every human being on the entire planet born on that day in that year. When I know your time and your place, now it narrows it down. And the likelihood that more than one person was born at exactly that time, in exactly that place, is between slim and none.
So it really, really refines it.
It does refine it.
Now, what if you have everything except for the time? A lot of people, and a lot of folks, you know, in midlife or older don't know or wasn't recorded what time they were born.
That's true. And it does limit what I'm able to do. And I can give you an example of that. For example, let's say that I know a person is born on a certain day, but I don't know the time of birth. What that changes is something called the geography. It's the turn of the dial. The time of day that a person is born, it works just like a clock. So someone who's born at around 6 o'clock in the morning, generally speaking, the sun sign and what's called the rising sign are the same. The rising sign is the beginning of the chart, and it represents the beginning of the way you interact with the world. We get around that dial, we get from that rising sign into the next place over. It's called the second house. The second house is money, and it represents, generally speaking, your attitude toward money, whether you think you have enough or need more. And what sign falls on the box of money represents your attitude toward money. That's all, as complicated as that sounds, that all comes down to what time of day were you born.
Interesting. Wow.
And this is kind of fun. Let me give you an example that's a fun one. Everyone knows that Virgo is considered to be nitpicking, critical, and fault-finding, very fussy, right? And I dare to say that because I happen to be prejudiced. I love Virgo people, and I'm surrounded by them. And those of us who are surrounded and love Virgo people, we know that a Virgo compliment is, hey, you look terrific. What have you done to yourself? You know, that's a typical Virgo compliment. Now, we all have Virgo in us somewhere. Wherever you have Virgo, that's where you behave like a Virgo. So people who have Virgo in the first house, that's the rising sign. They're people who look like they would repel lint. They always look neat. They come into my office, they could be wearing a sweater 10 years old or brand new. I wouldn't know the difference. They look pristine.
Right. Myrna, would you say that, you know, when you look at a chart and you look at a person, it's really accurate? Like when you just said that about the Virgo, that they can walk in, does it ever fool you? Do you ever look and, if, for example, someone like that, you'd read that chart and it would say this person is very neat and fastidious no matter how old the clothes are, and they walk in and they look sloppy. So how do you reconcile that if it doesn't jive with what the sign is telling you?
Then I would think they got their birth time wrong.
Really? So you believe in this? This is foolproof, sort of, you think?
The system is thousands of years old. Mom could have gotten it wrong.
Okay, just checking.
You know, continuing with Virgo, because it's so easy. If you're born, you know, a couple of hours later, Virgo moves over and it's ruling the second house of your chart, you're the kind of person who knows exactly how much money you have in your purse all the time. I never know. I shouldn't admit that out loud. Someone could rob me blind. I mean, I don't know if I've got 20 bucks or 65 in my pocketbook, even if I just counted it. I forget.
Right, Wait a minute. Okay, so now I'm reading my chart.
Yes.
And let's say that it says, you know, I'm messy or I have a propensity to lose things. Whatever, it may not be that specific.
Mm-hmm.
How do I change that? It's kind of like looking at your DNA. I mean, you're almost saying that the astrology has almost a DNA component.
So how do I
change that?
Oh, no.
If it's sort of ingrained according to the chart.
First of all, you said it's really important. Astrology has to have a way of explaining genetics. We have to explain why you look like your mother versus your father, or why you behave more like one than the other. And we do that by seeing what planets repeat from one person's chart to another. But the second thing that you asked was, how do you change it? And the way I explain it is, again, we have these 1,400 factors. The number one most important factor is the sun sign. That's kind of like the Freudian id. It's your instincts. It's the way you always instinctively feel and respond. And you're not going to change that. But the way you feel inside doesn't necessarily dictate the way you behave. I mean, I might find some cute guy walking down the street. I'm not going to jump his bones. Okay? I mean, it's maybe an instinct to feel that, but I don't have to act on it. And what we have as the ego, as it were, that may put this in check, is the moon. So the moon represents the way we behave, and it is the level on which we are amenable to learn new behaviors and to change. And then there's the rising sign, which is the cover. It's the cover of the book. It's the way you look when you go out in public, and it's the very first impression people get of you.
All right, so the rising sign is the outward appearance.
Yes.
What is the moon?
The moon is your day-by-day behavior and the free expression of your feelings.
So, interesting, because my moon is in Virgo, and I'm very detailed.
Yes.
And Virgo has that quality. Very detailed, write lots of notes, check off the lists.
Yes, of course, because you want to be absolutely sure cast in stone that you got it right.
And then I got it done.
And the moon in Virgo also represents, to some extent, that when you get on a topic, you're going to go at it and at it and on it and on it until people around you say, okay, we got it. Okay, it's enough, Patricia. Stop.
Okay.
But that's okay. It's how you work through what you have to do. And, of course, you're born under the sign of Taurus, which is the first power sign of the zodiac. It makes you down-to-earth and pragmatic and straightforward and direct. And you have a warmth about you, and you're a very loyal friend. If people tell you what to do, they're going to get an argument. But if they ask for your help, you're right there.
Now, Myrna, how did you know all that?
I can't.
And that's interesting because now that's the sun sign, right? Yeah. That's the Taurus, which is my sign.
Yeah.
And that's because Taurus, if you read the horoscope of the Taurus, mm-hmm. it talks about stubborn, loyal, fixed, yeah. loves beauty, mm-hmm. appreciates nature. I mean, that's something that just you read about with that particular sign.
Yes. Yes, and those things are all true. But again, what does it mean to be a Taurus? It's very broad. And we have 10 planets in the chart, so where the Moon is and Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all change how you're different from the next Taurus and the next Taurus.
Yes, and that's where the sign comes in. So, Myrna, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here when I ask this question, but do you think that everybody should have their chart done, even if they don't believe in it, just to see how accurate it is? What do you think?
No. I don't think everybody...
Didn't expect that. No. I thought you'd say, of course, everybody should have their chart
no.
done.
I'm not a person who thinks that everybody should do any one thing. And I'm not a person who thinks that any one thing is the answer to all things. I think there's all kinds of systems out there, many we haven't even learned yet. I think astrology is a wonderful system and very useful. But by no means...
So you're saying it's
everything.
A tool. It's a tool.
It is a tool. It's definitely a tool. And the way that I find it most useful for me, if I'm having struggles with somebody else and I happen to know their birthday and their birth sign, then I can understand where some of that may be coming from. Knowing them, I can adapt. But if I don't know the other person's birth date, and I therefore don't know anything about their horoscope, I can look at myself and ask the question, what am I doing here that's making this situation work poorly? I can give you an example that I found useful in my own life. Many years ago, the March of Dimes had a big anniversary party, and I was active on the board of directors. And I thought it was very appropriate for me as an astrologer to volunteer for the Birth Defects Association, as it were, March of Dimes. And every time I went to a board meeting, there was a certain woman there who, the minute I walked in the door, she said, Myrna, I've got all kinds of things for you. And I was getting irate. And I was thinking, what is the matter with this woman? Does she think I don't know how to do my job? Does she think I'm not going to take care of my responsibilities? And one day I was driving to a board meeting. I was already getting worked up thinking about running into her. And I realized, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with her. All she's trying to do is help. This is me. This is the Scorpio thing, which is part of me hating to be presumed to be stupid. And the minute I realized that, I walked into that board meeting and I said, hi, what have you got for me today? By the end of the whole thing, you know, we were best buddies.
Well, and that's where it helped you. I mean, it helped you to see where your behavior was and to pull back and look at it.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's all about you looking at yourself.
All righty. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to move into the book title, folks, so stay tuned. The book title is The Astrology of Great Sex, so I'm going to ask Myrna some questions about that. This is a specially pre-recorded program. You won't be calling in, but you can log on to MyrnaLamb.com, M-Y-R-N-A, Lamb, L-A-M-B.com. You're listening to Positive Living. I'm Patricia Raskin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.